So the last weekend of this month is our first weekend, technically, school is in session. And from then on out, we cannot meet in school buildings because of the precautions the school is taking to secure the health of their students. If that makes sense. So we'll be meeting either out here, if it's nice weather, or inside the chapel, which will be nice. So just be prepared to meet in there for both Sabbath school at church or out here. And yeah, we'll hopefully have a good time together. Anyways, that's it for my announcements I wanted to share. I want to invite Tom to do some praise and prayer.
Okay, welcome you guys. Beautiful weather. I was impressed with one of the verses that was shared during lesson study this morning. The one in First Thessalonians, and the first couple of verses there in chapter 5, starting with verse 9, it says, "For God has not destined us." Okay, I got to put the glasses on. I got them. Oh, are you kidding?
They're not reading it.
The block of the wind.
All right, this is good now. For God has not destined us to incur his wrath. That is, he did not select us to condemn us, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, wow, isn't that great? So, praise and prayer time, that's one of my praises this morning. We were not destined to God's wrath, but to salvation. So, what a great hope that is. What might you have as a prayer request or a praise this morning? And I'm sorry, you online people, I have no way of knowing what you're communicating. So, okay, so Andy's monitoring. If you have a praise or prayer, Andy will enlighten us. Yep. Rob.
I just want to praise the Lord. Thank him for blessing me with letting my sister come up and visit me and my nephew. At this time of the year, it was very difficult to find a place to stay. They were able to find it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Excellent. Good to have family around. Anybody else?
Just want to pray for the opening of the school year with all the extraordinary caution circumstance that it will go relatively smoothly and that it will continue to move forward and that we can be a light to those around us and a blessing to the families who really want their kids to be in school and their lives and that nothing derails it.
Okay, so far, people online, we have Robert giving thanks for the visit of his sister and nephew, and Andy's wanting us to remember the opening of school, all of the peculiarities that have to go with COVID-19, keeping everybody safe, families happy, students learning. Wow. Sometimes I'm glad I'm retired.
If you could pray for my cousin's girlfriend, she has COVID pretty bad and she's pretty young still.
She has COVID?
Yeah, just Gabby is her name. She's not doing very hot.
Where's she at?
She's in Hawaii. They have a big spike going on. But doing a good job today, so.
How old is she?
She's only like 24.
Oh my.
Oh, who's crazy dog is that?
Okay. Could be joined by Hardy this morning. Still, Pastor Grayson, is it cousin?
My cousin's girlfriend, yeah.
Cousin's girlfriend, who's 24 years old and has COVID in Hawaii.
I want to praise the Lord for all the things and
going on in the school system. They build things, they have painting, drywalling, so much. Things happen to school and people do better. And, you know, it's a special moment that we have to be here on the island. Thank God for giving us the funds to do all these things.
Yes, school looks really good for opening. So lots of good things happen. New floors in the buildings, some buildings, additions to the lunch counter and floor underneath the. Terry's been busy this summer, so looking good. All right, well, anything else?
I would like to have praise that our daughter Jessica is back and she's doing physical therapy. She's still using crutches and, you know, trying to heal her leg. Yeah, and just for God to bless us to act, to have action, you know, with intent.
Hey, Barbara. I don't
yes.
The people at the in person okay, can so, hear you. You have to type
it. Barbara's praise is that Jessica's getting physical therapy with her.
Actually, never mind.
And that we will act with, what was the word you used?
Intention.
Intention. That's a good one.
And let me just say, because I think the people from Zoom can hear me through your mic. That if you want to give a prayer request, just speak it out because I'm not looking at anything and I couldn't be able to read a chat. So now is your moment. If you have a prayer request or praise, you can give it to Tom.
All right, we got it. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, we do just give you thanks for being such a great God. With the intention of saving all of us and not dooming us to destruction. Wow, what an amazing God you are. Thanks for those promises in Scripture when we get blue and depressed that you're with us, that you want us to be with you and we can be together soon, always. So we give you thanks for visiting family. Plethora of concerns about opening school with everything that's going on, but we pray your blessing of protection and grace over that. Think of Grayson's family that's suffering from the virus and just pray for health improvement there. Give you thanks for a school campus that's ready for occupancy this fall. Many students that will soon be traveling these sidewalks in these classrooms. Just pray for safety and protection for them and the teachers and their families. Thanks for the good news about Jessica's improving health through physical therapy, which reminds us that we just seek your blessing and inspiring us to act with intentional behavior that will not only draw others closer to you, but will strengthen our walk with you also. Bless us this morning as Pastor Grayson shares with us, and we thank you again for the gift of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think Andy has some music.
Thanks, Tom.
Change my heart, oh God. change my heart, oh God. You are love and truth. Change my heart, oh God.
Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start, and then get to the message together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just ask that you be with us as we enter into the word today. We just ask that you speak through me. May the thoughts and words be of you, and may it help all of us, including myself, to just dig closer with you. I ask your name, amen. Let's see, I want to start with this, two short stories before I get into it. And then it's with this preface, you know, whether or not, sometimes we can't control the narrative about what people think of who we are or what they call us, right? As best as we can, we try to make sure we portray ourselves as good people or decent individuals, but people think what people think. And this, just to show an example of what that's like, when I was in high school, I transferred from public school to Christian Adventist Academy, and in that transition, the you know, kids do weird things when you come into school as a new student, right? They come up with these weird things to call you or names. And when I first came in, I was just really, I mean, I still kind of, maybe not so much, but a really lanky kid who was short, but really thin neck with a really protruding head. And everyone thought I looked like the Geico Gecko. And so for my first like couple months, they called me Geico Grayson. And I wasn't bothered. I'm like, well, at least they know my name. You know, there could be worse things to be called. And then the basketball season started, and I played on the varsity basketball team. And the first time I got in, stole a ball, I was going down the court, and I went up for a layup, and I was hit by three people trying to block my shot. All three players fell on their butts, and I ended up on my feet. And everyone thought, man, he moves like a cat. He just lands on his feet all the time. And so my name changed to Graceful Grayson. Oh, boy. It's getting better, though, right? My name is getting better. And then by my junior year, it just ended up being Grayson. After, you know, once you become a classman, no one really calls you those silly nicknames anymore. But sometimes you're known for things that you don't always want to be known for. In college, I was known to be the guy that talks to a lot of girls and never asked them out just because I just like talking to girls. And so these things, they stick with you for a while, and it's hard to shake. And right now, we're finishing our study into 1 Peter, right? We're in 1 Peter chapter 5 today. And with Peter, it's hard to shake who Peter is. You know, when you think of Peter and you think of his personality, you think of someone who is, what's the word I'm looking for? Not impatient, but they jump at things right away.
Impulsive.
You think of someone rash. You think of someone bold, but also timid, right? So there's a overconfidence and lack of confidence at times. And so you see this inconsistent individual a lot of times betrayed. And that's what Peter is in the time of Jesus when he's living with them. But when he's writing this letter to the church, that's not who Peter is anymore. And that's why, because of the grace of God.
And so we're now in chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, I didn't let Peter. Do you want to come read the scripture verse quick?
Sure.
Sorry, Robert. It's all right. I got so antsy to want to come up here and speak. So.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath.
Just for the people in the community.
I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. You younger men, likewise to be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. So, as we enter chapter 5, just a quick review of what we studied. In the first chapter of Peter, Peter mentions the three components that are essential to living and having Christ in your life. And that's having identity in Christ, having hope, and then also living a life with him, so holiness, right? And in chapter 2, he expounds on those concepts and how they're intertwined with one another, how hope and an identity, how that changes how you interact with the world, and how having an identity and being intertwined with God's call to be holy, how that will make you stand out. For not for your purpose of being able to stand out, but for his purpose of being seen through you. And then in chapters 3, he gets into the relationship. What does that relationship between you and Christ look like? And he makes it clear that he is the one that's going to be us, but we're there to add value to, since it's a gift back and forth between him and God and I. Between God and you, or God and myself. And then in chapter 4, it's this idea, not just the idea, it is the call to do what God has called us to do, to go and spread the gospel and understand that there's going to be some struggles with it, right? He says, there's going to be suffering, but if you suffer in my name, it's all good. Now we come into chapter 5, he's closing out his thought, right? He's closing out, what is the last thing he wants to mention before he ends it? And he comes up with two things. And it begins with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Oh, I should really bring my iPad instead. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. He shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing honest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. You know, I talked about what are you known for? And Peter was known for some not well-liked things, right? No one likes to be known as someone who's impulsive or moody or, you know, confidence wavers. But as he walked with Christ, and Christ mentored him and discipled him, Peter grew. And this is the aspect, the second part of the aspect of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, the disciples pass on to their disciples, and is passed on to you and I. On top of spreading the message of who God, Jesus is his call to be a disciple and to be a disciple maker. And what that means is those people that we call, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, we also must take them and walk with them in their walk with Christ, helping to guide them, mentor them, and lead them. How many of you guys have had a mentor in your life? Or have mentored someone in your life? Right? As a person who is probably a mentee more than a mentor for most of my life, having mentors who are godly, who are strong character, who are willing to say tough things to you, it makes a big difference on who you can become and what you're able to grow in. And this is what Peter's really harping on, this idea that there's a big responsibility as a mentor. You can really shape the future of those who you're mentoring. and this or discipling, and he gives some principles of how that looks like, and it's these three principles. Oh, I'm good. So, yeah, you have to be willing to serve. You must be willing. You must be eager, and you must not lord over the person. You know, no one likes someone who is a half butt about what they're trying to do, right? I remember the first time I worked at the K-8 school, and telling little kids that they have to wash their hands is one of the toughest things to do. We go out on the playground, and especially little boys, we come back in, and I'm having to watch to supervise the recess time. I'm like, all right, guys, wash your hands. And all the girls, they go wash their hands. And these boys, all they do is rub their sweat in their hair, from their hair, and rub it together, and then rub it in their pants. Absolutely disgusting. And I'm like, is that washing your hands? Like, yeah. Really? And then you have to go through this process of washing and waiting to wash your hand. And, you know, okay, I taught him. And then the second time, you know, kindergartens have more than one recess, which is awesome. They go out again, and the boys, again, when they come back, they do the same thing. Run their hair, hand through their hair, fill it with sweat, rub it down on their pants. And it's like this constant having to fight them on what is going on. Now, it is hard. It was hard for me at the time to do that because I didn't want to supervise recess because I struggle watching 20 kids at one time run around. Just it's madness. I don't understand what's going on. But after a while, after spending time with them, you know, I was a little hard on the kids at first. I was really rough on them. Like, argh. But then after some time, I was really excited through recess because it was fun. You get to see these kids have energy, and they play, and they grow. And my desire to do recess, I would take other teachers' recess for them. So I'd say, hey, I'd watch your recess for you. I enjoy playing with the kids and watching them. And as my experience my desire to participate and to be willing to serve changed, my attitude changed, the kids' response to me changed as well. When I asked the boys to wash their hands, they didn't run their hand through their hair with sweat, down and put on their pants, they just went to the sink and washed it. And I think this is, I'm trying to bring this point out. When we come with an attitude and a desire, you guys are welcome to come join us. If we come with an attitude and desire of just humbleness and desire for them to grow, the people who we disciple will have an experience of change that you both will want. Now, the second part of this last chapter of Peter finishes on this thought and set in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's not just about the mentor, but it's also about the mentee. How is a mentee supposed to approach his discipleship, right? There's not a lot in Scripture about discipleship outside of the experience between the disciples and Jesus. But in Peter, he really shares, works it out for us. So in the following verses, come on. In verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, unto God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. So, before I keep going on at those verses, when I started playing basketball in high school, play varsity level, there was a classmate of mine who transferred with me from the same high school, and he and I played JV at the public school and coming over to his academy to play, and we both tried out, and actually this classmate of mine was a lot more talented than I was. Yeah. I'm only, I don't want to say my height, because I'm short. I'm only 5'8". At that time, I was 5'4", and my classmate at the time was 6'2", which, you know, when you're taller in basketball, it helps a little bit. I don't know. Supposedly. He was a lot more athletic. I had better skills than I did, and he just was a, you know, I assumed a better player. But the difference was his attitude was different, right? He knew or thought he was really good, and he was good. But as we came into the season, we saw his number of minutes shrink, and mine grew because I had this willingness to say, okay, coach, whatever you want me to do, whatever. My approach to the coach was different. I'll just bring it down to that point. And his approach was, I'm good, just put me out there. And, you know, that experience and this verse kind of coincides with this idea that when you're humble, people are more willing to accept who you are and lead you. And when you're not humble, it's hard to lead you. And I keep thinking back to those moments where, well, maybe I wasn't the most humble, but I definitely wasn't the most arrogant. And that when you're the mentee or the disciple, who's the person that someone's leading you to the point, we must come with a level of humility, not just for ourselves and our growth in Christ, but for Christ to work in us too. And there's a purpose for the reason of the disciple and the disciple maker, and why it all matters, right? So why should it matter that you and I are disciples? Why should it matter that you and I need to have God work through us? Why does it care? Why does it matter? And it continues on in this verse. In verse 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. And here's why. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And as I read that verse, I look at our time today, right? Present day, you know, life in 2020. And I had really high hopes this year. But it's clear there are forces outside of our control that are trying to cause division and strife. And it causes us to be separated from, not just from one another, but even from God himself. And this is the importance and the reason why we must stay connected, not just as a group of believers, but as individuals in our community and as individuals our own home. We must stay connected because there is an intentional supernatural thing out there trying to separate us. And it's God's call to connect us, to bring us back together. And as I'm reading these final lessons from Peter, right? And we talked about how Peter was impulsive. He was wavering in his confidence, you know. A man who is impulsive, like, I know people who are impulsive. That's me. And it's hard to come up with thoughts like these without growth in your life. And as I'm reading this, I see God affect Peter in a way that he sees the things that matter. And now he's able to share with us. And the things that matter are those three things I mentioned in the first chapter. Hope, living the life of God, and having identity in heaven. And how the call to serve, and not just sharing the gospel, but to help draw people together, those are the things that matter. And Peter's learned those lessons over his lifetime. And those are lessons we need to take upon ourselves and remind ourselves, right? We were talking about in our lesson study earlier about the importance of, so what if Jesus coming back? What does it do? Why should it change? And these are the reasons why. Because if you take an intentional step-by-step journey with him, your life will be changed, not just for that you're ready for when Christ comes back, but you're ready to do what God has called you to do now. And I'm so grateful for that time. Even though life is crazy, even though I can't see everyone I want to see, I'm grateful for the time we have. And I'm grateful. I'm sure you're grateful too. And I just hope and pray that this coming week we can take these lessons and remember how we are called and how we are asked to do things by Christ, and how he promises to be there with us through that process, so that when we hit the low moments, we're ready to do things. Thanks for the lessons of Peter from Peter. And thank you that it's very applicable to this time. And we know that's because they're centered around your principles, your desires for us. And we just ask that Holy Spirit enter us and just help us to grow and be ready for this upcoming week to meet the people that we need to meet, whether virtually or in person, and be able to share the gospel through words or actions. And we ask that you may work. Amen. Well, Andy, would you like to do the last song and close out?
Sing with me if you can. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will help Thanks everyone for joining us today.
Especially not staring at screens, so it's just the night.